You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
Two months from today, Mayweather-McGregor will go down in Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena. We're having a fascinating conversation about this matchup with Larry Pepe, host of Pro MMA Radio. Larry, before we went to the last commercial break, you brought up the fact that Oscar De La Hoya actually explored the idea of McGregor getting into the ring with two of his most prominent fighters. Now, De La Hoya has come out, he's had some very harsh words about this fight between Mayweather and McGregor, which to me is laughable, considering that this guy charged boxing fans $70 for a pay-per-view event that featured Canelo and Chavez Jr., only to use it as a springboard for Canelo Triple G. In fact, we had a WWE-type build-up to the fight after Canelo Triple G. Oscar De La Hoya's hands are not clean in this mess either.
Not at all. And you know, look, let me turn to maybe a different issue, and I hate to segue on your show. I think the bigger question here, the more interesting question, to be honest, is does Floyd finish him? Right? Because Floyd, historically, not a finisher. You know, he's a guy who goes to decisions and dominates decisions and so on and so forth. I think he does finish him. I'm not going to give a round, who knows. But there's a couple of factors. One is, a little known fact is, Conor McGregor's cardio sucks. Just go back and watch both Nate Diaz fights. In both Nate Diaz fights, in the second round, he's tired. If he's tired now, in MMA, of course, the rounds are 5 minutes. So about the seven-minute mark, he's tired. Now, in the second Diaz fight, he basically took the third round off, which Floyd won't let him do. Nate wasn't able to finish. He dominated the round. And then Conor was able to kind of recharge his battery a little bit. His cardio is not good, especially for a smaller athlete. For a smaller athlete, he's got the worst cardio I've seen. When you're talking about heavyweights, yeah, heavyweights gas all the time because they're bigger and not as conditioned sometimes because they don't have to make weight unless they're gigantic. In MMA, of course, 265 is the division, so most guys are not walking around 275, 280, so they don't even cut weight, so I think their conditioning programs tend to be lacking sometimes. So, different story. So his cardio is not very good. I mentioned the gloves. I think they're going to get very heavy for him as the fight goes on. That's going to drop his hands, and Floyd's going to be able to tee him up. But I think there's another issue, and I brought this issue up before we had a tragedy in MMA and boxing. I believe it 10 times how much I believed it when I brought it up. I raised the issue when the fight was made that one of the reasons I thought Floyd would get a finish, I did an interview with someone else, and they were like, well, I think, you know, Conor will probably be bloodied and beaten. And I said, I don't even think it's going to take that. Because if you're this commission, which, again, I do not believe is terribly competent, but if you are the Nevada State Athletic Commission and you're the referee, and referees know who they're dealing with, they know, you know, Gotti Ward, they know these two guys are going to basically kill each other, but I'm going to let it go because this is how they fight. They both absorb a lot of punishment, etc. You know that you have on one side of the ring a guy who's 49-0 in this discipline with these rules, and on the other side of the ring you have a guy who's never done this before. I don't think you're going to give that guy a really long leash, because the worst thing for the Nevada State Athletic Commission is for Conor McGregor to get carried out of there on a stretcher in a fight that a lot of people would argue should have never been sanctioned. Now add to that the tragedy of a gentleman named Tim Haig. Tim Haig was a UFC fighter. He was a heavyweight. Did well in his first, like, you know, had a marginal career and then lost a couple of fights. He did a boxing match, I believe it was his fourth boxing match, a couple of weeks ago, against a fighter who I believe was 7 or 8-1 coming in. And after the fight, he went into, became brain dead and died. Now, that fight was the weekend after Mayweather McGregor was announced. If you're the commission and you're the referee, keep in mind that Tim Haig, for whatever it's worth, had three boxing matches before that. He was 1-2, but he had three boxing matches. The guy he was fighting was not 49-0, but 8-1. He wasn't the best boxer of his generation. He was a guy no one ever heard of. Under these circumstances, if you think any sane referee, and that, you know, maybe that's an oxymoron, we'll see who they put in there, but any sane referee or sane commission is going to give Conor McGregor a lot of time to get beaten on once Floyd starts to find him, once he starts to get tired, and he will, once those gloves start to get heavy and his hands start to drop, that would be the height of insanity. So I don't think he'll have a long leash, and I think Floyd will get him out of there before the final bell.
Last question before I let you go, Larry. Talk about the business aspect of what had to get done in order for this fight to happen on the UFC's part, because obviously Floyd Mayweather is his own boss. He marches to the beat of his own drum. He's got Al Haymon. He's got Leonard Ellerbe. We know these are two guys that will pretty much do whatever Floyd says. I mean, they are yes men. And when I look at the official poster for this fight, in no way do I see any even resemblance to the UFC. I mean, I don't even believe the logo is on the official fight poster. What is the benefit for Dana White, and what had to get done on that end for this fight to come to fruition?
Well, this is an interesting issue that you raise, because I really think, and just bear with me here, this may turn out to be the dumbest thing that any promotion or promoter has ever done in combat sports history. And let me explain. If you're the UFC, McGregor will not have fought for an entire year in an octagon because of this. Okay? Like, the earliest he'll come back, if he comes back, is the end of the year. He fought last November. So you're taking him out for 12 months, 13 months minimum, if we ever see him again. He fought three times the year before. So let's just assume he fought three times again. He did a total, according to them, of 4.2 million pay-per-views in those three pay-per-views. Now, you know, Jordan, when a company does a pay-per-view, half of the revenue goes to the pay-per-view company, and then half comes to them, and then they do whatever they do with it. So if you run the numbers, and they do 4.2 million pay-per-views at an average of $50-$60, blah, 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 they basically took $100 million out of their pocket to let this thing happen. So you have to say, well, from a business standpoint, then they got to make at least $100 million for this to even, from a business standpoint, make an iota of sense. Now, just to make it easy, let's say they price it at 100. Let's say they do 4 million buys. That's 400 million. Sounds great. Half of that generally goes to the pay-per-view company. Maybe they could have negotiated it down a little bit, but to make it easy, let's say that's 200 million. When Floyd fought Pacquiao, he had a 60-40 split. Can't believe that he would have settled for anything less here. So if 40% of 200 million goes to the UFC side, the McGregor side of the deal, that's 80 million. Now, let's just say they did a 50-50 split with McGregor. I have no idea what the split is, but we're already under the 100 that they would have made with him. But if it's 50-50, let's say they make $40 million. They would have made 100 with him. So from a business standpoint, it makes no sense to me. What I suspect happened is that they were afraid that McGregor was going to legally try to use different statutes in California or New York, or the Muhammad Ali Act, because once he got licensed as a professional boxer, those protections would be afforded to him. And I think they made a decision like, you know what, rather than fight him in court to stop this thing from happening, we'll just participate and then get him back. Now, that brings me to the last stage of the analysis. I'm not 100% convinced he comes back. Everybody says, oh, he wants to come back, he wants to fight again. Listen, until you go to bed on Friday night with X dollars in your bank account, and you wake up on Saturday with X plus $50 million, you don't know what you're going to do. None of us know what he's going to do. And I remember an infamous tweet of Conor McGregor from 2014 that rings very loudly now. And it was six words: get in, get rich, get out. And if there was ever the time to cash in and get out, it would be after a huge payday like this and not going back to the UFC, where I think he loses against the majority of opponents that would be on the table for him. The only one I think he has a 50-50 chance of beating is Nate Diaz. And you look at the rest of those fights, I think, you know, if you had to bet right now, I would say he's at best a 40% chance of winning any of those fights. So if there was ever a time you want to talk about legacy, maybe do the Diaz fight again. But without the Diaz fight, let's say you don't do that fight, you walk away off a win in the UFC, off the this spectacle with Mayweather that nobody's going to really hold you accountable for, and you made $50 million. If that happens, this will be the dumbest thing that any combat sports promoter has ever done, because the UFC will have effectively taken the only person on the entire roster who can sell a million pay-per-views and create the scenario by which they lose that one cash cow. And that may be exactly what happens. Time will tell.
Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio, always great to get you on the show, Larry, and pick your brain about things happening in the MMA and also in UFC, rather. And, of course, now we can implement boxing into that as well. Hopefully soon, Larry, we'll get you back on and we'll start previewing Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier, which is actually right around the corner. I can't believe how fast 214 is popping up.
Oh, yeah. It's on the way. And then we have the other card, 213, with Nunez Shevchenko and Romero Whitaker. So lots of stuff happening. And last but not least, from a business standpoint, Jordan, I hate to go on, is anyone going to be paying attention to anything the UFC is doing between now and August 26th? Or is McGregor Mayweather going to take all of the air out of their promotional room? And I suspect that it will.
I think from a fringe and a casual fan standpoint, maybe Jon Jones, just because of the name. Like, is that fair to say that someone who is a casual fringe fan of the UFC would at least be mildly interested in watching Jon Jones in the cage?
Yeah, well, they'll be interested historically. They don't care much about Jon Jones if he's not fighting someone with his bad blood. Like when he fought Rashad Evans and when he fought Daniel Cormier the first time, those were really his highest drawing pay-per-views. So I think the fact that it's Cormier, he's coming back for the belt, et cetera, et cetera. Sure, people are going to be interested in that fight. But how much are you losing with the anticipation of all this joint venture circus that is Mayweather-McGregor? I think it takes the focus off of what you're doing on your pay-per-views, and I would expect their numbers to suffer, plain and simple.
Larry, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Absolutely. Simplest thing, follow me on Twitter, at Larry Pepe, last four letters, P-E-P-E, ProMMAradio.com. That's where we upload the show every week. And if you are in the military or know someone who is, we are the exclusive MMA voice for the military on American Forces Network. The Voice Channel, which is their largest channel, penetrates to 170 countries and 150 ships at sea. And we are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Pacific. And a big thank you to all that serve.
Larry, always a pleasure to get you on. Thank you again for the time. Let's do it again soon.
Sounds good to me.
Again, Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll come back for the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports.